Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Julie Gowans.
Happy New Year. The best is yet to come, family. The best is yet to come. Hope. In first service worship, the Lord spoke to me and he said that today, there, whatever level of hope that you're living at, you could be way down here or you could be way up here, and that's okay, wherever you are in between. Whatever level of hope you're living at right now, today that hope level is going to rise. Today that hope level is going to rise. Amen? Do you receive that?
Amen.
Okay, let it be done according to your faith. Today, the title of the message is The Power of Testimony. I have had this for many months stirring in me. We've prepared today for you, and I am honored and thrilled for God to speak today and give this impartation to us. So, if you've been here any length of time at Bethel, you know that testifying is a big deal to us. Our video team creates these amazing video testimonies to instill hope in us, to build our faith. Testimonies create culture. It's one of the reasons literally every single one of our staff meetings, I'm not exaggerating, every single one of our staff meetings begins with praise reports and testimonies. Sometimes there have been occasions where half of the meeting is taken up with testimonies. I kid you not. And you know why? Here's the why. It's because we understand the power and the value of testimonies. We understand the atmosphere, the culture, that testifying of the goodness, the greatness, the love, the power of Jesus, we understand what that does, and we want more. We want more. Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Say that with me. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You need to memorize that. You need to tuck that in there. Bury that in your heart. A testimony is the spoken or written record of anything God has done. That's what a testimony is. And the Hebrew Old Testament meaning, one of testimony, it comes from a word that means do again. So when we are testifying of what Jesus has already done, we are prophesying, Lord, do it again. You did it once. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to declare it. I'm going to share it. I'm going to blast it. And what we're doing is, Lord, do that same thing one more time. Do it again. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said this in July of 1859, and it was true then, and it is true today on January 1st, 2023. And he said, what God has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again.
Come on.
That's right. What he has done once is a prophecy of what he intends to do again. That is our God. That is our Jesus. That is the God we serve. Amen? A good God. So, like I said earlier, when we testify, we have the opportunity to infuse hope where maybe there is not a lot of hope. We have the opportunity to build our faith, to stir up faith on the inside of us in our spirit man. And how many of you know we need to do that? It's our responsibility as believers to build our faith. God says, and we have faith, and when we are born again, There's a deposit of the Holy Spirit in us, but it's our responsibility to build our faith. How do we do it? One of the ways we do it is to create atmospheres of faith by testifying of who he is and what he's already done. And when we create that kind of atmosphere, we create an atmosphere where miracles can happen, where we can see the miraculous. And we all want to live in that place, don't we? Well, how this journey started, it was in the fall of 2019, so a little over 3 years ago. That fall, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Julie, for the month of November, I want you to, for each day, write down one testimony, one miracle, one answered prayer, one breakthrough, one revelation that you received by my Spirit. One thing every day for the 30 days in November. And I said, great. Yes, sir, I'll do it. So I started writing in this journal. This is my 2019 one. And about halfway through November, I started noticing some changes in my mind, in the way I was thinking. And I know my mind better than anybody else other than Jesus, and I know that my mind can be completely crazy, okay? I can think outrageous things, and I'm beginning to see and experience a change in my mind. And I was getting excited about this, so I continued doing this. And mind you, not only am I writing down an answered prayer or a testimony or a miracle each day, I am remembering and revisiting all the previous days as well. So by day 30 of November, I'm not only writing down another miracle, another answered prayer that I've experienced, I am also going back days 1 through 29, verbalizing to the Lord, thank you that you did this on day 1. And Lord, I praise you for this, that you came through on day 2. And on day 3, this breakthrough happened. And I'm going through all of these every day, the previous ones. Are you tracking me? This is important. I'm doing that. So on day 30, I'm like, I can't stop. I'm being transformed. My mind is being renewed and rewired. And this is outrageous. I love it. I'm going to keep going. So I keep going through the month of December. So in this journal, I've got 60 tests, 61, 30 from November and 31 from December. It so radically wrecked me. I actually preached a message on the power of testimony that last Sunday of 2019. From there, the journey continued. 2020, 100 testimonies are in here from 2020. I got another 100 right here from 2021. And this year, or this past year, 2022, I've got 103. So, I have recorded, count with me, all you math people, 103 plus 100 plus 100 plus 31. What is that? 364, right? Is that right? 37, thanks. I'm not a math person. I don't have a math degree. I have a music degree. What is it? 1, 2, 300, and I should have figured this out. This is like being recorded live, people. Help me. How much?
364.
Okay, so I have, somebody should have already helped me here. All right, 364 testimonies right here that testify of the greatness of Jesus, that testify of his amazing love, that testify of his great power. 364 right here, just in 3 years and 2 months. Now, another thing I want to mention, if you are a member or if you've been around at any point, gone through the membership class, you will hear in our membership class and you'll hear occasionally from the pulpit from my husband that if you are a Bethel member, you need a few things. The first thing is you got to have a Bible. The Word of God. We base our entire life on the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. You got to have a Bible. You got to know the Bible, get in the Bible, love the Bible, eat the Bible, feed on the Bible, memorize the Bible, right? Declare the Bible. This is what we base our life on. So you got to have a Bible, right? The next thing we talk about, if you're a member here at Bethel, you got to have a passport, because we believe in the Great Commission. We believe in going. We believe in missions. We believe in evangelizing the lost, right? So you got to have a current passport so that anytime the Lord says go, you say, yes, sir, there you go, right? So you got to have a Bible. You got to have a passport. And the other thing we talk about often is the purple book. This is a very old version, so your version probably doesn't look like this. This is about 20-something years old. You got to have a purple book. What is the purple book? If you don't know, it's a workbook. 12 chapters, the foundations of a believer's faith, the foundations of the Word, all compiled in one little workbook for you. Yes, you should go through it once as you become a member here, but you should definitely not stop there. You can go through it, get another workbook, go through it again, take those you're discipling through it again, because how many of you know that if a foundation is not properly laid, the building will crumble eventually? Nobody wants our lives to crumble. And so we've got to make sure, and sadly, too many Christians in this nation have never had proper biblical foundations laid in their lives. So it's critical that we have the proper foundations laid, and that's what the Purple Book offers. Well, then what we are adding to that, if you are a Bethel member today, you got to have your Bible, your passport, and your Purple Book, and now everyone has got to have a Bethel Testimony Journal. We've created this for us. Testimony is already part of our culture, like I mentioned. And yet we feel, as a team, we want it to be more deeply embedded into the fabric and the culture of who we are as a family. So we've created this beautiful little testimony journal for us. Through it, there's scriptures throughout, and the day you're writing your testimony and you need to hear that scripture, you'll be on that page, because that's just who he is. Or you'll read that specific testimony that will encourage you, because that's exactly the testimony you needed to read that day to be encouraged, because that's who God is. So today, you can grab one of these for $10 in the lobby. It comes with a few little stickers with some scriptures on them, which are fun as well. So grab that, because we, like I said, want that to be deeper into our culture. And so you might ask, well, why? Why in the world do I have to do this, Julie? Why write down testimonies? Why do that? Why remember them? Because we forget. We're people who forget. Do you even remember what you ate yesterday for lunch? You know, you think you're going to remember all these big moments that you have, like this awesome memory that happened on this vacation, or when you have children, you're like, oh, I'm going to remember that. If you don't write it down, there is not a good chance that you're going to remember. I'm telling you, you will not remember all the great things. You will not. You may remember a few, but we want to remember this Jesus of ours and who he is and what he's done in our lives. Amen? We want to make his name famous. That's the title of the testimony journal, Make Jesus Famous. It's all about him. That's the scripture found in Psalm 45, making Jesus more famous. So God knew that. He knew that we're people who forget, and that we need to have reminders in our lives. And so I'm gonna share a few stories where he had his people build memorials with stones so they wouldn't forget. So they would remember, and not only would they remember, for future generations, which is key, because we are building generationally. This is not just for us. So he had his people build memorials so that there would be legacies to share with the generation. So the first story we're going to find in Genesis 28. And this is where Jacob memorialized his vision that he had at Bethel. This is found Genesis 28, verses 10 through 19 in the NIV. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, this is hysterical to me. Taking one of the stones, he put it under his head and he laid down to sleep. He took a stone and made it a pillow. We got it good, people, okay? You can order my pillow, have it delivered in 2 days. I mean, it's much better than a stone, right? But this is what he had, so this is what he did. He took the stone, he slept on it. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and the Lord said, "I'm the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying." That's a promise. "Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth." There's another promise. "And you will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south." That's another promise. "All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." There's another promise. "I'm with you." There's another one. "And I'll watch over you wherever you go." There's another one. "And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you." Somebody needs to write this promise down, because some of you need this scripture for you to take for this year. And this is it. "I will not leave you," the Lord says, "until I have done what I have promised you." Who needs to grab that and make that yours for this year? That's how amazing this Bible is, okay? Did you see how many promises I just read in this short little passage? I'm not done with the passage. That's what happens when we live in this word and we find these promises that are treasures and that are life for us that we can hold on to and cling to, because we're going to need to hold on and cling to things. And so God said, "I'll not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Verse 16, when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid, and he said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head, and he set it up as a pillar, and he poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. Jacob encountered God in a very real, powerful, life-altering way. And he said, "I got to take this stone, and I've got to memorialize this moment. I don't ever want to forget this outrageously amazing encounter that I've just had with God." So he memorialized it. Another story is found in Joshua 4. This is the story where God's people, the children of Israel, had wandered around aimlessly, happy and bitter, blessed and grumbling for 40 long years. And they're finally at the Jordan River, and they cross into this promised land that God has for them. And so at this point, Josh was like, "This is a really big deal. It's been 40 really long years, and we made it. We made it. We're in the promised land. We've got to memorialize this. We got to commemorate this." And he did it with two different sets of stones. He took 12 stones and he placed them on the dry ground, and he took another 12 and he placed them in that Jordan River where the priests had stood with the Ark of the Covenant. And it marked the location of God's demonstration of power on behalf of the children of Israel, so that the generations to come would see it and know it was there. The verse reads like this: "In the future, When your children ask you, what do these stones mean? These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever, and that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God. So Jacob set up a memorial. We see that Joshua set up two different ones. I'll give you another story. It's recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 7. This is, the Philistines were one of the Israelites' enemies. I mean, they were like the constant little irritating gnat that won't stop flying around. It's like, here they come again! The attack again! They're coming at the children of Israel again! And here they are. They show up, and they are ready to attack God's people again. But God is in his creative ways, he says, this time I think I will cause thunder to be so booming loud that it will just shake the very essence of the Philistines. And it did. The thunder came in a booming sound, and it sent the Philistines into a panic that they fled, and the Israelites won the battle. So Samuel's like, this is a really big deal. God came through again, defeated our enemies again, another breakthrough happening here. So he took a stone, and he actually named this stone Ebenezer, saying, thus far, the Lord has helped us. That's the memorial. The Lord's helped us. He's helped us. Has he helped you ever? Have you ever felt the hand of the Lord come through right when you needed it to come through? Did you ever feel encouragement of the Holy Spirit when you felt so discouraged, so hopeless, so beat up by life, by the enemy, by things coming at you? And then right at that moment, you experience the wind of the Spirit of God blowing through on your soul, reviving you. I have. We need to remember those times. We need to build memorials, and maybe they're not going to be in stones, but more power to you. If you want to go get some stones from Home Depot, awesome. Start building something in your backyard. I like the idea. It's biblical, but you don't have to do that. What you can start by doing is building a memorial right here in your Make Jesus Famous testimony journal. Remembering isn't passive. You might just think, I'm just going to sit here and, well, just think of a few nice little memories while I'm, you know, at my kitchen table or in my recliner. And no, remembering is not passive, my friends. Remembering is an action that brings the power of Jesus into our lives. That's what remembering is. It is an action that brings his power. As I meditate on what God has done year after year after year in my life, I am empowered by his strength, by his spirit. It's not passive at all. And as we remember what he's done, it enables us, hear this, it enables us to stop focusing on the impossible, all the things that we're facing that look impossible. How will I ever get my way out of this? How will it ever change? It enables us to stop looking at the impossible and to start looking at the God of the impossible. That's what remembering does. It's active. It's powerful. And if you don't yet believe this is biblical, I'm going to give you a handful of scriptures. 1 Chronicles 16:12. Remember his marvelous works, which he's done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. It doesn't say, if you feel like remembering, It doesn't say when it's convenient for you to write it down so you'll remember. It doesn't say when you have time to get around to it, when your life becomes really boring and you're 90 and have nothing else to do. It doesn't say that. It says do it. Remember his marvelous works which he's done. Psalm 77:11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember the whole way. Anybody ever been led out of a wilderness season? And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Pastor Tim testified of being in the wilderness 40-something years ago. He has remembered, continued to remember how God has led him out and continues to lead him. Anybody else ever been in a wilderness and been led out? Joshua 23:14, not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. If you don't have a lot of hope, if you're living down here in the hope category today, you need to grab this scripture, Joshua 23:14. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Psalm 143:5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all you've done. I ponder the works of your hands. And Deuteronomy 4:9, only take care and keep your soul diligently. Keep your soul diligently. That's something we've got to do. I mean, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the wealth springs of life. We've got to take care and keep our soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. There again, we are people who easily forget. But do this. Take care and keep your soul diligently so that what you've seen with your eyes, you won't forget. Lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. There's that legacy piece again. As I was studying and preparing for this, I found out that there Coleshill, United Kingdom, there is an organization who has been given land, and they are building, in the process of building a monument, a national monument, that will be called the Eternal Wall of Answered Prayers. The Eternal Wall of Answered Prayers. Look it up. It's this amazing white it's a whole piece, so it's eternal. So it's like it's not a circle because it's got waves in it. It's stunning. It's a stunning monument that they're going to build. Why? Why an eternal wall of answered prayers? Why? Because they want to infuse hope into people to believe in the power of prayer. Because he answers prayer. And they want to remember that with this monument. In Acts 3, we see the first recorded, say that with me, recorded, say it again, recorded miracle of the disciples. This is when Peter and John were at the gate called Beautiful, and the lame man was there. He'd been lame since birth, and he says, help me. And they say, silver and gold, we have none. But what we do have, we'll give you. So in the name of Jesus, rise up, get up, and walk. That was the first recorded miracle of the disciples, right there. We know about it because it was recorded. It was written down. Miracles are meant to be recorded so that they can be remembered. Answered prayers are meant to be recorded so they can be remembered. Revelations from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God that He gives you, are meant to be so they can be remembered. Breakthroughs in your life are meant to be recorded so they can be remembered. Healings that God gives you are meant to be recorded so they can be remembered. Breakthroughs in your marriage are meant to be recorded so they can be remembered. Breakthroughs in the lives of your family and your children and your neighbors and your coworkers are meant to be recorded so they can be remembered. Do you get it yet? They are meant to be recorded so they can be remembered. Otherwise, we're not going to remember. Not all of them, at least. So 2022 was a really hard year for me. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons why, but it was one of the most difficult years of my life. I'm 52, and it's definitely in the top five. We've been married 24 years, and it was one of the hardest years for us that we've experienced because of many reasons, like I said. In November, a couple months ago, I was, as is my custom, I was meditating on my testimony journal, and I was going through, revisiting, remembering, recalling what I had previously written down, and thanking the Lord. Lord, I thank you that you did this, and I thank you that you came through here, and I thank you that you brought this person into my life and gave me this encouragement today, and I thank you that this breakthrough came, and I'm going through this, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I got this revelation that I didn't have before. Had I not written down these testimonies from 2022, with the depth of the how hard and difficult 2022 has been, I guarantee you, I would not have remembered hardly any of them. I'm sitting there going through, and I would not have remembered that. I wouldn't have remembered. There's no way. I would have been caught up, inundated by all that was hard, by all that was difficult, the pain. But because of the discipline, the practice of the last few years of writing these down, joy was given. Hope was poured out. In the midst of those days when I just cried and cried and I fought to believe for breakthrough and healing, because of what I'd seen him do once, I knew I would see him do it again. When I was discouraged and was struggled to believe, remembering and recalling and revisiting and thanking him for what he's done brought me hope. And stirred my faith to believe, you can do it again, Jesus. You'll come through again. Oh, the depth and the height and the width and the breadth of your love for me. I'm not going to be left alone. You're not going to leave me. You're going to come through for me. I know it. I've seen it over and over and over and over 360-something times. Why would you fail me now? On my worst day, 2022, and I had a lot of really worse days, if you want me to be honest. This is one of the reasons I got through. Because I remembered, I recalled, I thanked him for his amazing love that brought me through time and time again in the past. A few weeks ago, I asked our prayer coordinator, Melissa, to send me some testimonies from the Connect cards. Your testimonies. I was like, Melissa, send me a handful. Send me a little list full here. So I'm going to share with you a very short list of a very, very long list of testimonies that are yours. A fractured relationship completely restored. A very generous and unexpected Christmas bonus from my boss. I was told I would never conceive a few decades ago, and now I'm pregnant in the second trimester. Come on, Jesus. It doesn't matter how long you gotta wait for it, friends. We gotta wait and stand and believe. One person wrote, I'm 1 year sober today. That's huge. Another, after 3 months of unemployment, God provided the perfect job. Another, my family was in a car accident and everyone was protected. Another, I led a family member to Jesus. That's big. Another, breakthrough in my finances and now I'm able to help others. Another, there was a threat of me failing a class in my doctoral program. Instead, my work was accepted and I received a B instead of an F in the class. Another, I paid off my debt. Another, I'm sober 2 months and the desire for alcohol completely gone. Another one, the organ transplant was received. My body did not reject it. Come on. Another, I stepped out and started tithing, and right after that, I received a huge raise and a bonus. These are our testimonies. And they're recorded. Yes. And Jesus gets glory for every single one of them. A book I'm reading, it's called It Takes What It Takes by author and mental coach Trevor Mawad. He said this, average is a choice, greatness is a choice. There's no magic, only decisions. Great teams behave like great teams. Their behaviors precede their success. Their behaviors create their belief. Behaviors are not only what we do, but what we are willing not to do. Behaviors are not only what we do, but what we are willing to not do. So as I wrap this up, I've got a few questions for you. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? And what are you willing not to do to be able to do? Are you willing to take a few minutes every few days and write down an answered prayer, a breakthrough, a miracle, a healing, a revelation God gave you? Are you willing to make time to reread this, thanking him yet again, stirring faith, building faith in you to believe for him to do it again? Would you like to have a legacy of testimony journals that other people are going to read? So right now, I've got this one. I'm about to add this one on today. I plan on living another 50 years or 48 years unless Jesus returns. That's going to be a whole lot more. I'm going to have a shelf full of testimony journals with at least 100. My goal, my faith goal every year is 100, and the Lord has met me. Maybe you want to start with one a month. Maybe your faith goal is 12. I'm okay with that. Start somewhere. Mine's 100. So I'm going to have 100 of these. I'm going to have a bookshelf full at the end of my life where my kids are going to be able to open these up and they're going to see all the places I've got their names in here. And they're going to say, wow, Mom prayed for that And he answered. She believed for that for me. And he came through. And he healed me in that way. He brought me my godly spouse, grandchildren. Listen, this is a legacy thing. My kids are going to serve God forever. They don't have a choice. I will outpray anything else, okay? Their children will, and their children will until Jesus returns, because we will pray and we believe and we will write down every way God has come through. But do you want a legacy of testimonies to leave for others? Many of you are in here too. I got your testimonies in here too, because they're my testimonies. When I'm praying for you for something and God does it, I write it down. Are you kidding me? We're rejoicing together. Would you like, anybody else would like your brain to be rewired a little bit? I mean, talk about my husband's message two Sundays ago. Outstanding. If you didn't listen, go back and listen. About our thoughts, God renewing our mind. I'm gonna venture out there and say most of us need our minds renewed a little bit more. Rewired a little bit more to think like he thinks. This does that. When you live in meditating on the miraculous, it changes you. And as I close, at the end of 2023, this is what I want you to picture. At the end of this year, on December 31st, so in 365 days, would you like to sit with Jesus on December 31st and be able to go through your testimony journal and thank him and give him praise and honor for and reread through every testimony that you had written down for this year? What a beautiful offering to Jesus on the last day of the year, right? And what a way for you to honor him. By remembering, by recording and remembering and revisiting who he is and what he can do. I'm inviting you to join me in this amazing journey of the testimony journal.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler, or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.